Well, it was a tough weekend for the Halos, losing 3 of 4, and a lot went wrong. And we'll tell you about one particular thing that's easily fixable. It's time to get Locked On with Mike and John, and this is Locked On Angels.
You are Locked On Angels, your daily Los Angeles Angels podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks for making Locked On Angels your first listen of the day. You can find us anywhere you get your podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and SiriusXM by searching Locked On Angels. And the best way to help us out is by giving us a rate and a review. And those watching on YouTube, make sure that you're subscribed and click the bell to be notified every time a new episode drops. And today's show is sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist who can take you on that self-discovery journey from wherever you are. Visit BetterHelp.com/LockedOnMLB today to get 10% off your first month.
Thanks for being here for this episode of Locked On Angels, where it's your team every day. You've got the Frisch Brothers here with you, a.k.a. the Super Halo Bros. My name is John, and that's my brother Mike.
And my name is Mike, and that's my brother John.
If you're joining us for the first time, just know that Mike and I are lifelong fans of this team. We've been around the block, and we've seen our share of good Halo teams and bad Halo teams. And you might be feeling like after this weekend, we got ourselves another bad team, but we'll talk about this weekend series against the Astros in Houston. Locked On Everydayers, don't forget that we are recapping every single game of the Cubs series this week. They're coming to town. That's exciting. I'm going on Tuesday, Mike. I think you're going on Tuesday as well.
I'm going on Tuesday as well.
We'll be there on Tuesday. I love it.
If you're there and I'm there, it'd be great to meet some Locked On viewers and listeners.
Be there. Oh, hey, yeah. Hey. Yeah. Hey, by the way, if you're locked on every day, don't forget that Fan Mail Friday is coming, so get your questions in all week long. We'd love to hear from you and get your questions to answer those on Friday. But Mike, let's begin the series recap with the loss on Thursday. Angels lose 5-2 on Thursday night. Let's talk about it.
I've been a big fan of Reed Detmers since he came up, Johnny, but I've been really frustrated with how he's performed this season so far. He struggled with one thing that Angel pitchers, starters specifically, really struggle with, and that's shutdown innings, where you get the lead or you at least get a tie, and then they come back in the next inning and they can't keep the other team from scoring.
Right.
And that just is, it's so frustrating. And you saw this with Reed. He was given a 1-0 lead and then a 2-1 lead. And both times he gave up the lead and he went 5 innings. He gave up 6 hits, 4 runs, 2 walks, 2 Ks. And stop me if you've heard this before, Johnny, but Detmers was in control all the way through the 4th inning.
Right.
And then in the 5th inning, that third time through the order, he really, really struggled, which has been the narrative around him. And here again is something that Reed has struggled with and other starters have struggled with. When they're up 0-2, when they have an 0-2 count on the other team. And I saw this stat this weekend that I thought was very telling. Opponents have a 2-10 average against the Angels when they're up 0-2. Angels pitchers are up 0-2. It's the highest average in the majors. John, the big league average is 151.
That's where the Angels should be too.
Exactly. And so the Angels, it's almost 70 points higher. And then after the game, Reed gave an interview, and I'm going to share the quote, John. I'm going to give you a thought, and then I have a question for you.
Okay.
Reed gave an interview, and he said that he didn't feel like his other pitches were good. He was frustrated that he wasn't getting that many swings and misses. But here's what I thought was interesting. He said, "It's not like I'm not trying out there. It's just how things are going right now, and hopefully things will flip around soon." We're going to share a quote from Trout later on that frustrated me too. This one feels very defensive. It feels like people, in his mind, he's assuming people are assuming that he's not trying out there. And I don't think it has anything to do with trying. The question isn't about that. The question is, are you adjusting? Because you're the same pitcher in every single start, Reed. You're the same pitcher, and it doesn't seem like you're able to get through the third time through the order. You can get to the 4th inning, and then the 5th inning, you fall apart. And so nobody's questioning if you're trying. The question is, are you even adjusting? And so, Johnny, I want your response to that quote, and then the question I have for you is this a Detmers issue, or is this an Angels starting pitcher issue, or maybe it goes deeper than that? Tell me your thoughts. Yeah.
Well, with Reed Detmers saying, it's not like I'm not trying out there. I understand where he's coming from, but Mike, you watched that play at home happen right in front of him. Mm-hmm. There was a pass ball, I believe, and somebody could have easily ran down from third base and scored a run. And Reed just stood there. So Gio Urshela hustles to home plate to cover it, because Reed's just standing there. And I'm like, you're telling us that you're not trying. Well, I just watched you not try. I don't know where his head was in that moment, but that's not really like a pitching issue. Here's what I have with Reed Detmers. You go up 0-2 on a hitter and you went from 0-1 to 0-2 on a fastball up. So you just threw a fastball for a strike. Now it's 0-2. What does he do? Fastball up. Same exact pitch. I watched it happen multiple times. And that's what you're talking about when Reed Detmers needs to make an adjustment. And Mike, this to me, it goes all the way to Matt Wise. I was furious on Thursday. I said, what does Matt Wise even do?
Yeah, I think you've asked that question since we've started this show.
I have.
467 times, Johnny.
Well, make it 468 because I'm asking it again, Mike. Listen, the fact that Reed Detmers had to go down to AAA last season to get fixed by Buddy Carlisle or whoever it was that helped fix him and lock some things in. And they look at some video and go, oh, that's what's going on. Like, I understand. And I had this argument on Twitter. I said, I understand that Reed Detmers needs to execute. But we have known for Reed Detmers' entire season of 2023 that he struggles with the 0-2 pitch, that he has a hard time finishing an at-bat. And every at-bat, he's the same pitcher, not making adjustments. That, to me, is a coaching thing. And if Reed Detmers isn't executing that on the mound, it's up to the pitching coach to drill into him, hey, if you throw a fastball 0-1 and you get 0-2, you're not allowed to throw another fastball until they swing and miss or you get a ball or something. Right? Like, there has to be some sort of, like, you do not do this until you've done this. And that's not happening. Matt Wise can't fix a flat tire, Mike, because I think about Jeremy Reed last season and how the hitting approach was approachless. There wasn't one. Yeah. And Taylor Ward credited Trent Woodward with helping him with his swing. So it's very obvious to me that the guy who replaced Mickey Callaway because he got caught up in a scandal and had to get fired is not cut out for this major league roster of pitchers. And yes, I think we came around on Matt Wise last season because the pitching staff ended up doing pretty well. But you look at Reed Detmers, you look at Jose Suarez, you look at Patrick Sandoval. These guys are not executing, and we know that they're good. So it tells me that the coaching from Matt Wise does nada. It does zip. He is a pitching Jeremy Reed with no solutions, no adjustments, and no coaching skills.
Well, and the problem is so good. The problem is that we don't get to even hear from him either. Like, he doesn't get
because
allowed.
It's all sunshine and rainbows and rolling hills and you know, happy together in Angel Land because John Carpino has commissioned it to be that. They won't talk to the media. Matt Wise is unavailable to the media. They won't let him talk to him. It's ridiculous.
You mentioned Taylor Ward. The big moment in this game was the third strike call on Taylor Ward. And quite honestly, that was what really deflated the Angels. That would have been a bases loaded walk. It would have been 4-3. Yeah. And then we have more batters coming up. And Taylor was interviewed afterwards and he said he would absolutely be in favor of an automatic strike zone. Nevin gets tossed. I was glad to see some fire from Nevin. It was so good to see him come out and do that. The only issue that I have in this situation, though, is that the Angels had all weekend long multiple opportunities to score 100%. Runs. And we can't – I mean, they were in this game on Thursday, but they had multiple opportunities to score runs, and they didn't come through. So I get the frustration on that low third strike call because they were going to struggle all weekend long. But this was before they even struggled. This was just a moment that was – it sucked, right? It was terrible.
Totally.
But they still had an opportunity – to do something. They still had an opportunity to score some more runs and they didn't do it. And that seems to be the narrative around the pitching staff and around the hitters, that once they get down and once it doesn't go their way, it's like a balloon and they just, they lose all of their air.
It was a very pivotal moment that might have changed the outcome of that game. However, there were many pivotal moments where the Angels were just not delivering with runners in scoring position. They left 13 on base, 2-for-12, with runners in scoring position. And so they just weren't getting the job done. And I understand how ridiculous it is for that umpire to take the bat out of Ward's hands in that moment. They need the challenge system. They need to go with the challenge system that's happening in the minor leagues right now, where they immediately replay the ball or the strike and a manager is allowed to challenge a call. They need that in the worst way. I don't know why that's not one of the new rules this season. Hey, listen, the Angels play the Cubs on Tuesday, 6:38 Pacific time. You can catch every pitch of the Angels Hometown Broadcast on SiriusXM with the SXM app. Just search Angels. And coming up on Locked On Angels, what did Mike Trout say that irritated Mike Frisch? Well, Mike's going to share that quote, and he's going to tell us why he was not pleased with this quote from Mike Trout. We'll talk about that coming right up.
Locked On Angels is brought to you by eBay Motors. For a championship team, it's all about making sure every player is a perfect fit. And the same goes when it comes to your vehicle. Every part needs to fit just right. So the next time that you need parts and accessories, head to eBay Motors. With the eBay Guaranteed Fit, you can be sure that every part you need fits just right and the first time around. All you need to do is just add your ride to the My Garage and look for the green check to know that the part will fit or your money back. And with over 122 million parts to choose from, you'll be back in the game in no time. Get the right parts, the right fit, at the right prices at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. The eBay Guarantee Fit is only available to U.S. customers.
Thanks for making Locked On Angels your first listen of the day. Locked On Everydayers, don't forget to join us every day this week as we talk about our Halos, recap the Cubs series as they come to town, and get your questions in for Fan Mail Friday. Don't forget that the Angels play the Cubs Tuesday night. Mike and I will be there, 6:38 Pacific time. Catch every pitch of the Angels Hometown Broadcast on SiriusXM with the SXM app. Just search Angels.
Let's move to Friday's game. The Angels lose this game 6-2, and we actually had a lot of hope because Shohei Ohtani was on the mound, and they created a whole new lineup hoping that it would help. But Johnny, they repeated what they did the night before, 2-for-12 with runners in scoring position, 3 grounded into double plays. It was kind of the same old, like they can't hit with runners in scoring position. John, I counted 3 times in the first 4 innings, no outs and a runner at second base, and they did nothing. Even Trout and Ohtani. And listen, Ohtani had a pretty good offensive weekend, so no shame on him. But yeah, Trout really struggled, and he has admitted that he struggles at the juice box. He just can't hit there. Yeah. And there's, I think it was last year, he was at third base and he was talking to Bregman, and he's like, I can't see what's going on. So it's funky there for him. But the Angels had a moment where they loaded the bases and actually had a chance to come back in the 7th, and then Chad Wallach grounded into a double play. But the story here, Johnny, was Ohtani and Valdez. It was a pitcher's duel, but Ohtani had a really tough time in this game. 6 innings pitched, 5 runs, 2 home runs. Mm-hmm. The stats between Ohtani's first 5 starts and his last 7 are pretty staggering. Share those stats with us, John.
Yeah, in his first 5 starts, he had 28 innings pitched, a 0.64 ERA, so less than 1 run.
Yeah.
No home runs, 38 strikeouts, 15 walks. Mike, over his last 7 starts, 43 innings pitched, a 5.02 ERA, 10 home runs, 58 strikeouts, and 14 walks. It's the sweeper. It's just the sweeper, Mike. Yeah. I don't know what else there is to say. I understand he likes to throw it, but man, when that thing hangs up, it is a balloon out there. Yeah. And even with Shohei Ohtani and how good he is on the mound, you think, you know what? Maybe next time he'll command that a little bit better. But everybody makes mistakes, and everybody is going to have a mistake pitch. And that one in particular is really easy to hit. Look, if Ohtani threw a 99, 100-mile-an-hour fastball down the middle on accident, there's a chance that the guy is going to be late on it. He's going to pop it up. He's going to hit it into the ground. He could hit a home run, but I think the odds of doing anything positive with that 100-mile-an-hour fastball right down the middle are much less than that sweeper. And that sweeper has just got him in trouble over and over again. I believe the second home run was on a cutter, and that was kind of in, and it drifted in and right into the swing path. And again, that's going to happen too, but man, that sweeper is, we should call it a screamer, because it's every time he throws it, it's hit me, you know?
Yeah.
So I think he's got to make an adjustment there. And speaking of Ohtani and the pitching staff and making adjustments, Ohtani is the king of making adjustments.
He is.
When he starts a game, because he won't show you a particular pitch until maybe the second or third time around that you've seen him, to where you're like, oh my gosh, where'd this splitter come from? Like he might throw you all fastballs the first time he sees you. So I wish that there was something to be learned there by these other pitchers, because they are obviously watching Ohtani every start, but are they letting it sink in? Are they realizing what he's doing and how he's adjusting all the way through a game? I know he's got a big pitch repertoire, but save some of your good pitches for later on when these guys might have figured you out. I think that's something that the rest of the starters can learn from this. Hey, Neto got hit in the foot, and so he actually, it was another hit by pitch.
Yeah.
So he got the rest of the game off, and then he sat out on Saturday. Saturday was also an unfortunate game because of more pitching issues. Now, Ohtani had a monster game. He went 4-for-5.
Yeah.
This is the third time this season that he almost hit for the cycle. This time he was just missing the home run, and so that was an exciting thing. And he really helped get these guys back into the game. I know they lost 9-6, but at one point it seemed like all hope was lost.
Yeah.
And it all started with Sandoval on the mound, right?
Yeah. And Sandoval had the same struggles that Detmers had. He couldn't do a shutdown inning. And then he got up 0-2 with two strikes and really, really struggled. And what I noticed with Sandoval is that he still has that ability to fall apart, John. He has that ability to get really, really frustrated. In the first inning, for example, he doesn't get a call. And then he gives up a run on a 1-2 pitch. Like instead of it being the third strike, it was a ball. And then they swing and they crushed it and got a run. And it was the shutdown innings. It was that you got a lead or you got a run back. And then he gave up a run. Like, for example, in the bottom of the third, after they had already tied it, he comes back in and then they get the run. And then it kind of fell apart for him in that fourth inning because the bases got loaded. And then there's Soto instead of Neto at short. And you give a good team an opportunity, you boot a ball or you give them an extra at bat.
Oh, yeah.
And that's it. They're always going to take that. And that's what we struggled with earlier this season. And Zach Neto, that's why he was called up, right? That's why they brought him in. And he has solidified the defense up the middle. He's been fantastic.
Absolutely.
But even when he gets a break, you know, Soto's great, but we saw why Neto was the call up and not Soto because Neto has been offensively pretty strong, but defensively he has been incredible. And when you give the defense that issue, when you give the defense that opportunity, things are going to fall apart. And then something that you mentioned was Sandy being pulled kind of early. We were talking about this before we even started the show. He was pulled and there was a question of like, why was he pulled? Because they weren't hitting him hard, right? But you have a theory as to why Nevin went and got him.
So there was a play that went to right field. Walsh went for it, missed it. Drury actually scooped it up behind him, and Sandoval didn't cover first. And afterwards, Sandoval mentioned that he didn't realize that Drury was behind Walsh, so he thought that one rolled out to right field. Mike, I don't think it's a coincidence that that's the moment Sandoval got pulled. Listen, I know the bases were loaded. I know he had some struggles. Jacob Webb came in, first pitch to Bregman. It's a grand slam. There it goes, right? And Bregman. The Angels fight their way back, right? I know, freaking Bregman all the time and his Peaky Blinders mustache.
That's good.
the whole team's got that going. I got to give credit to Max for that one. But listen, the fact is this. I think that Sandoval watched that play, didn't cover first base, and Nevin said, okay, if that's the game you want to play, then that's what we're going to do. Like, I almost feel like it was a dad mode move where it was like, if you're not going to do what you're responsible for and cover the base like you should be, I don't care that ball may have rolled out to right field. It didn't, and it cost you an out, and so you're out. I'm taking you out.
Yeah.
That's just my theory. I understand that Sandoval probably could have gone more, but I also understand he was in a pickle with the bases loaded. I just think that if there's a world where you keep your starter in to fight through something and not turn it over to Jacob Webb taking on Alex Bregman in a bases loaded situation and give up a grand slam, like if anybody's going to do that, let Sandoval be the guy to give up the grand slam. At the same time, I understand that Nevin's got to have a hook when guys are struggling. I think it was that moment that caused that.
Here's the quote that really frustrated me, John. After the game, Mike Trout said the Angels for sure should be able to compete against teams like the Astros. He said, we've been in a lot of ball games. We've had a lot of chances in a lot of ball games, just fell short. It's a long season. Obviously we got to start picking it up. I love Mike Trout. I'm thankful for Mike Trout. I'm glad he's on our team, but there was a quote from Alex Cora from yesterday after the Red Sox fell apart, and Alex Cora owned it, took accountability and said, hey, like, here, this is my fault. This team is better. We have this roster. I got to do what I do with this roster. But there was accountability in that. Trout has always been Switzerland in everything that he says, right? Like, he's always been right in the middle. There's not any passion up or down, left or right. It's just here it is, right? When he does things like he did a mental health thing that I saw that was posted yesterday, awesome. It was so good. And it's definitely needed. But when it comes to his team, I think I need my leader to say something more than just
say something.
We've been in some ball games. We just fell short. It's a long season. Obviously, we got to start picking it up. I don't like that, John. I don't like it at all. What do you think?
Yeah. I'm with you. I mean, somebody's got to show some passion. Somebody's got to show some fire. I mean, like, I bring this up all the time. Weaver getting pulled out of a game in Texas as he's walking off the mound. They're playing Hit the Road, Jack. Don't you come back. No more, no more. He's singing along with it. And Alex Curry asked him, why were you singing that song on your way out? And he goes, because I sucked and I deserved it. Like, I deserved to be pulled. And it's just nice to hear some accountability, not Aaron Loop, I was pitching scared, like a little B word accountability. Yeah. Just like admit, like, yeah, I got to do something better. I mean, even if it was Trout saying, man, I'm really pissed off that I am not hitting with runners in scoring position or I'm struggling right now. Like, show some emotion, take some ownership, show some fire. I know Trout likes to lead by example. There was actually a great example from Victor Rojas on the Angels Win podcast. They were talking about Trout. Trout leads by example, not like a verbal get in your face kind of guy, because when Trout's struggling, that's obviously not a time and a place for him to be like, hey, Drury, you got to pick it up. Hey, run for, like, you know, that sort of thing. But also, you just got to own it and you got to wear it. And I think I'm with you on that. It feels like it lacks substance. It feels like it lacks accountability. And this team certainly needs all the accountability it can get right now.
Locked On Angels is brought to you by BetterHelp. It's so easy to get caught up in what everyone else needs from you and never take a moment to think about what you need from yourself. We spend a lot of our time giving, and it can leave us feeling stretched thin and burned out. And that's why you should give therapy a shot. It can give you the tools to find a more balanced life so that you can keep supporting others without leaving yourself behind. So check out betterhelp.com/lockedonMLB. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist who can take you on a journey of self-discovery from wherever you are. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, setting boundaries, and it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. And it's not just for those that have experienced major trauma, it's for everybody. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, why not try online therapy? Give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just need to fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Discover your potential with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/lockedonMLB today. You'll get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/lockedonMLB.
Okay, Mike, you know, you and I going into this weekend hoped that, being realistic, we could have split this series with the Astros. Instead, the Angels go 1-3. I feel like Thursday was the day they could have gotten a win.
That was their game. Yep.
That was the game. They were in it. I understand the Taylor Ward strike call was very frustrating. Man, what about Sunday and the Angels winning 2-1? And salvaging the final game of this series, actually walking away with a win for once. And it all came on the back of some terrific pitching, starting with Griffin Canning.
Johnny, who would have thought that when going into Houston,
I knew where you were going with it.
That Detmers, Sandoval, and Ohtani are pitching, and the best pitcher this weekend is Griffin freaking Canning, right? Like, I mean, this guy wasn't even, we talked about this last week, this guy wasn't even supposed to be in the starting rotation. He might be the sixth starter, right? Like, this guy is a gamer, man. I'm really liking him. And I'm hesitant to say that just because I really like Reed Detmers when he first came up, and then he's not been great. So I hate Griffin Canning. Like, I want to go against it, right? I mean, he pitched so good. 6 innings, gave up 1 earned run. He probably could have gone one more inning, but then Davinsky comes in, Estevez comes in. They combined for 3 scoreless innings. And this is one of those games, I don't know how you felt, but as I was watching it, I was like, we're being no hit. No, really, we're being no hit.
Oh, like, my gosh.
This is what's happening right now. We're down 1-0. This is terrible, right? And Canning's pitching a heck of a game. And then Luis Renjifo hits a home run to tie the game.
Yes.
And you felt the momentum kind of move in the direction of the Angels at that point.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the best part, I love this. And this is strategic baseball for those of you who don't know. You had Zach Neto on first base. There's two outs. Otani works a full count. Now, if you're unaware, there's no risk in getting a head start when there's two outs and a full count, because it's either going to be a ball, a hit, or a strikeout and the end of the inning, right? And so the strategy there was Otani working that full count and then Neto getting a head start. Otani hits a double off the right field wall. And because Neto had that head start, he was able to come around and score from first base. And so that was really awesome to see. Otani had the most clutch hit that we needed in that moment, especially with two outs.
Reach.
And so it was just great to see him continue. I know that everybody was being no hit through the first five, but that double really was necessary for the Angels to win. It was the go-ahead run, Mike, and that's what it took to win this game. I got to say, Chris Devensky coming in has really found it again. That separation on his fastball and the off-speed pitches that he has now has really improved. He found his velocity again. He gave up a double. That runner got to third, and got to give credit for him for getting out of that inning, and to Gio Urshela, who made an incredible diving stop, held the runner at third, and threw all the way across to first. So together, they were able to get out of that inning. And it was an odd situation, Mike, because it was Devensky for one inning and two thirds. And then Phil Nevin really wanted to match up Bregman with Carlos Estevez. And so Estevez ended up getting the four-out save, which was nice.
Yeah.
And, man, 14 saves in a row.
Attaboy.
That's really awesome. It hasn't happened since Troy Percival. I think Estevez has a few more to go to match Percival. But
yeah.
Got to give that guy credit for really showing up as our closer this season and really making them go, yeah, I think Estevez needs to be our closer. So
yeah,
Angels win in this one, puts him at 31-30, back above 500. They haven't dropped below 500 since, I believe, was it April? I think it was April.
They were 11-12, I believe. Yeah.
So, I mean, gosh, we're hanging on by a thread. And I understand there's probably questions around if this team can compete with the better teams. You and I think they coulda, shoulda, woulda split this series. I understand everything that happened on Thursday night. I think that there's about seven more opportunities, or maybe six more, for the Angels to face the Astros this season. But they've got to pick up some wins in June. They've got to make it happen. And they've got the Cubs coming into town, who have just come up from San Diego. They took 2 of 3 out of that series. So we'll see how this goes. I think I'm excited to see what they can do and pick up some wins against the Cubs. They got Seattle this weekend. Gotta win games, and you've got to get your stuff together. And hopefully we'll see Anthony Rendon back this week, which I think changes the whole trajectory of the lineup. So looking forward to how this week goes. The Angels really need to pick themselves up by their bootstraps and get some wins this week.
Only 4 games in the win column behind the Astros. So that's actually really good news. Hey, thanks for making Locked On Angels your first listen today. Remember, they do play the Cubs on Tuesday, day off today. They play the Cubs at 6:38 Pacific time. You can catch every pitch of the Angels hometown broadcast with SiriusXM on the SXM app. All you got to do is search Angels.
So what do you guys think? You got any comments or questions for us? Get at us at Locked On Angels on Twitter, at Super Halo Bros on Twitter and Instagram. If you're watching on YouTube, comment below. If you're on the audio side, come join the conversation on YouTube. Find today's episode and the video for it. Jump into the comment section. Hey, Mike, what do we have on deck for tomorrow's show?
Since there is no game tonight, we're going to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly from May. Hey, remember when May happened? Remember when we won 4 in a row to start off May? Can we do that again? We're going to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly for the Angels in May and how they can carry that momentum, hopefully, into the month of June. That's tomorrow on Locked On Angels.
We hope that you'll join us for that conversation. Until then, my name is John, and that's my brother Mike.
And my name is Mike, and that's my brother John.
Thanks for being here with us, and we will see you back here for more Locked On Angels.